Okay. Good morning, everybody. We are starting a new book, Dvarim, the book of Dvarim. And one of the interesting issues is in the beginning already when we say Ele HaDvarim, those are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu talked to Am Yisrael, to all of Am Yisrael. So here starts a problem. What is the problem? Says ele, those, it's normally, it's always a vav that adds this to what was written before. And those are the words. But that's not written here. Those are the words. It means that like it's something by itself. And there is a whole discussion about it. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, for example, says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this book of Dvarim. Now, this is a problem. Because we know that if somebody says that a word is not from God, from the Torah, it is a kofer. So, how does it go? Kofer is... And that's impossible that the whole book of Dvarim was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So you say, okay, and it's, by the way, it's also called Mishneh Torah, secondary Torah, Mishneh Torah, which also... It's very puzzling. Well, what's going on here? And there are a lot of explanations. And the one is even offering an opinion that maybe there are four books there by themselves, and the fifth book is by itself. But it's impossible. The all five books are from the Torah and then from God. So how does it go with Ele Advarim Asher Diber Moshe? That's what's written. So Or HaChaim HaKadosh gives a beautiful explanation, and I like this explanation more than all the others. Because, you know, all the others, they're going like this and this, but this is very simple and very understandable. Who is Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu is a prophet, and he's not just another prophet. He is a prophet at the highest level there is. And it gets to a level where the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself says, Pe el pe adaber bo. Mouth to mouth, I'll talk in him. Bo. You say, pe el ozen. That's what you should say. Say, mouth to ear. What is mouth to mouth? How can you speak mouth to mouth? So the explanation is that Moshe Rabbeinu got to a level that he was really just a vessel of what God speaks. In other words, like I take a loudspeaker, and the loudspeaker is not an... It's not... let's say a thing by itself. When I speak, the loudspeaker says what I am saying. The loudspeaker doesn't speak by itself. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is now at a level Refuah Shlema. Moshe Rabbeinu is now at the level that God is talking through him. In other words, when he says Ele HaDvarim, those are not the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. Those are the words of Moshe Rabbeinu coming from God directly through him. That's in order to understand the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. And by the way, there's one of the explanations that says that if you are talking Torah, and this is the words of God anyway. So that's another issue. Now, one of the interesting episodes in our parsha is what we already saw in the past when we talked about the Meraglim. And if you remember, then it looked like that God is sending the Meraglim to Eretz Israel to spy. And they're not called Meraglim there, they are being called to tour the land, like tourists. And in our parsha, we see a whole different picture. We see that Am Yisrael approached Moshe Rabbeinu. And it say, Kulchem. Kulchem means they all together, now with no order, no nothing. The young are pushing the old, and you know, sometimes we are used to those things here, and unfortunately. But that's what it was. Like, it wasn't a nice thing. And they want to lachpor, they want to dig in the land. It's not touring anymore, it's digging in. And they also called Meraglim, Leragel. In other words, the whole story has changed. And suddenly we see the picture behind the picture. So now the question is, why is the Torah telling us this story again? First of all, the Torah is telling us that a lot of times in life we see something from the outside and it looks brilliant and shining, but it's not always like this. And sometimes you can cover the best things in the world with a nice cover, but inside it's rotten. So here, the whole idea of the meraglim from the beginning was wrong. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is asking them, how can you even think to cry after the meraglim came back? And what day was it? Tisha B'Av. The meraglim come back and they tell whatever we know they told, and Am Israel is frightened to go and they start crying, and this is what we call crying for nothing. So God, because they say Besinat Hashem Otanu, with the hatred of God He took us out of Egypt. How the hell can you even think? God that saved you from Egypt, did all the miracles, took you through the desert, water, nothing, you missed nothing, everything, the best you got, you got food from heaven, and you telling Besinat Hashem that God hates you? This is Sinat Chinam. And why did the temple destroyed? Sinat Chinam. In other words, the seeds were already there. What does it mean? But they said to God, they hate God. Like, they didn't say they hate God, they said God hate us. And this is also an interesting psychologist lesson in psychology. When you say somebody hates you, normally you really hate him. So the excuse is he hates me. So when Am Yisrael said God hate us, impossible. What do they really say? It's not nice to say, but that's what it is. And now, hating God means I hate the creature that God created. In other words, I hate also my fellow man. If I love God, I love the creation. I love man. I love people. If I hate people, I hate God. It's connected. This is what we have there. Because this is exactly the picture. From hating God, it becomes to hating each other. Sinat Chinam. And the temple was destroyed. And it all started at that night that we were crying for nothing. Which really, they cried for nothing. What God only gave them. Unbelievable. And the miracles they saw. And say, Besinat Hashem Otanu. So this Tisha B'Av is a very hard day for Am Yisrael. A lot of things happened on this day. Then, they realize that they did wrong. They do tshuva. They want to go. And the description is very interesting. The Torah is telling us, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, don't go. Yesterday God wanted you to go, you didn't want to go. Today God is telling you not to go, you don't go. But they said, no, we want to go. We want to do what God told us to do. ויצא האמורי היושב בהר ההוא לקראתכם וירדפו אתכם כאשר תעשינה הדבורים. And what happens? The Amorite came out from the mountains and killed all those who tried to go into Eretz Israel. But the Torah is using a very interesting phrase, כאשר תעשינה הדבורים. How did it happen? How did they hunt them? How did they kill them like the bees? A bee? What does a bee have to do with killing Am Yisrael? What's the idea? Dvora? What is a dvora? Dvora is a kind of fly that stings you. What is the connection between this and the Amorite and this story? And it's very interesting. Says Rashi on the spot. What happens when a bee stings you?
You can die.
What happens to the bee?
Yes.
In other words, let's say that the Amorite would come and kill Am Yisrael and then go back. What would Am Yisrael say? Here, you see? We said that it's impossible to go in. You see what happened to those who go in? They were killed. But what did God do? First, I told you not to go. You go, you're going to get punished. You're going to get punished, you're going to be killed. But those who touch you, they are going to die also. So in other words, everybody will see the hand of God. We'll see that from one side, yes, they're killing those who try to go into Eretz Israel, but on the other side, they are also dying, which is a lesson to us to understand. We don't do what we want to do or what we think is good to do. We do what God tells us to do. Because think about it. Yesterday, it was the highlight of the day and the best mitzvah in the world to go into Eretz Israel. The next day, it's a sin. An example from life today, Pesach. Before Pesach, chometz, a challah, is a holy thing. In Shabbos, in two challahs, and you sanctify the challahs. And Pesach, you touch a challah, to not touch, see a challah, see a Pesach. You have karet, the worst punishment. Because the idea is, first of all, to understand, we do what God tells us to do, not what we think is the right thing to do. Because the minute we start thinking that we do what is the right thing in our eyes, then the problem starts. Especially, by the way, if you're clever. People think, it's not if you're stupid. On the contrary, if you're clever, you have the worst problem. Because the clever people think they know better. They know everything. What did Shlomo HaMelech said? Mikol melamda iskalti. That's the wisest guy in the world. He says, I learn from everybody. What do you mean? You are the cleverest guy in the world. How can you learn from him? He says, that's exactly the idea. When you understand that the more you know, the less you know. What did Shlomo HaMelech says when he came to Parah Aduma? Ech kema v'irchoka mimeni. Now I understand that I understand nothing. And that is being clever.
Absolutely, I want to say, you need a lot of sechel to know who's giving you sound advice, that you know less than that person who hasn't had education, listen to his advice, because you know in that thing he knows much more than you. For that you need
brains. You know what you remind me? My father, he never went to university. He had all the intention when he was a kid, but unfortunately Hitler, Yimach Shimo, came and changed all the plans. And he came to Eretz Israel and he started working with metal. But he had a very good brain and he was also a practical. He did a lot of things. And a lot of time in life he had argument with architects. When they planned places and they say, and one of those that an architect told him, you do this and under this you do this. And my father told him, impossible. He says, you tell me impossible? I'm an architect. I learned in university. He says, you can be, I don't know what. I know what I'm saying. I am in the practice. I do it. And I tell you, impossible. No, you do it. He says, okay, it's your responsibility. What was in the end? Couldn't do it. The same story. I had a law office, not an accountant office, that used to buy for me everything. One day they decided to do a new office, new officers, and they didn't come to me. They took an offer, then decided to go with this architect, this decorator, whatever, and they bought only the chairs from me. Okay, parnosa from God. But they had a very limited space. So the guy that planned their office decided to put the drawers in a very special place that they will not disturb. So it was going out, the drawers were here, coming out from there. And the top, the tabletop was on it. In other words, when you wanted to use the drawers, you couldn't use them. The first one was opening to the top of the table. The second one, you had to bend down to try and get there. Eventually, they ordered from me drawer boxes to put on the side. But this is like showing you, all those architects, if you're not in the practice, if you don't practice things, you can learn a lot of things. So in other words, knowledge is not always the solution for things. Because sometimes, because you have the knowledge, you think you know things better than you really know. And this is exactly the problem of the generation of the desert. They were called Dor De'ah. They were wise people. And look what they did. Also, we talked about it. Not all of them did it. But never mind. That the point is that you see people that are really so close to God and still do mistakes. Because the idea is very simple. A lot of things we think are right or wrong, they are not as we see them. So this is why God told you to go into Eretz Israel, you go. God tells you not to go, you don't go. Another interesting story about the bees. Do you know how do you call it? Hive? How do you call it? The
hive.
The hive of the bees. You know how it's built, and you know to come to a hive when the bees are there is quite dangerous. At least very painful, because you will end with a lot of stings. So how do you do it? So the guy who owns the hive, they come with a smoke. So that they smoke, and when the smoke comes, all the bees go away, and also they are covered with a special suit. But let's say I am not the owner, I am a thief. So a thief cannot come and smoke, and everybody will see him. So what happens to the thief that comes to the hive and wants to take the honey without the protection? And this exactly also, says the Rav Zalman Sorotskin, is a lesson from the bees here. The Torah is not just using the bees for nothing. The Torah is telling us a story. It says, when Am Yisrael was told to go in, they were like coming like owners, like the Balabait comes to the hive. They were coming with the smoke, with the ananim of kavod, with the clouds of God, with the wearing the Aron HaKodesh, going with the holy luchot. This way, all the bees will run away, and you take the land. But now, you are without the special things. You're not like you are like a thief. No clouds of God with you, no ark with you, nothing with you. It's like the thief that comes to the hive. What happens to him? He gets stings. But, as we say, talking about bees, look how much we can learn from a word in the Bible. That's not at the ending. Another the lesson. Let's look at it from the point of view of the bee itself. The bee knows that if it stings you, it means the end of her life. But still, to kill a Jew, they don't care. They are willing to kill themselves as long as they kill Jews. Also another lesson from the bees. And I think this, when we see those things, we understand the deepness of the Torah. How clever, how beautiful it is. Because, you know, people read this, Kasher Tasena Advorim. What does it mean? Like, what's the connection between the bees and the Amorite killing Am Yisrael going in? But now we understand. There's a big lesson here. So, Ele Advorim. What are those Dvarim? So here we see a very interesting point. When Am Yisrael now, Moshe Rabbeinu is ending his life, and before he ends his life, and Am Yisrael going into Eretz Yisrael, he rebukes them. So Ele HaDvarim are really a rebuke. And the interesting point is that a part of the rebuke is by clues. It's not talking directly and rebuking them in a hard way. But suddenly it changed, and it became a hard rebuke. Like, what happened? What is this? When they start talking about Eretz Israel, the rebuke is direct. Because we have to understand the most important thing is the combination between Am Israel, Eretz Israel, and Torah Israel. And if you talk about those things, you have to be very clear. No clues. You have to be very clear, because otherwise people can try to translate it in different ways. Because, you know, if you give a clue, okay, I understand like this, but here it was clear. So people will realize and understand what is the problem. It's also being talking Kol Israel, to all of Am Israel. Also, Dvarim ve-Diburim. There are talks and there are deeds. Dvarim is things. Diburim is talk. Ele advarim, he says, it's not enough to talk. You have to do. You have to do something. You know, some people talk, nothing behind it. So, talk is not enough. How do you say? Talking is cheap. Talk is cheap. You have to do things. And Ele advarim says, those are the things you have to do before you come into Eretz Israel. We are now in mourning on the temple. And in order to understand what is the idea of the morning, we have to understand and realize that we are not crying about something that happened and finished and is not crying or not going to come back. On the contrary, we are crying that it's not built yet. In order to do this, we have to understand what we are missing. One of the biggest problems is that we don't really realize what we're missing, that we don't have the temple. Because, you know, it's very nice to say, I mourn on the temple. What is the temple? How did the Jews live when there was a temple? Is there a difference between life without a temple and with a temple? And if you don't realize that there is a difference, you don't really want it to be built. But if you understand what you're missing, then you want it back. In other words, all those 3 weeks, and the 9 days, and Tisha B'Av, and Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the main task is to realize what are we missing. Why do we want the temple to be built? What did we lose? So in order to have a small understanding about this, let's go back in time and think about what was it in Jerusalem when the temple was there. So first of all, imagine to yourself, for example, they say that in Jerusalem, the smell of the ktoret that was the spices that they were doing in the temple, the smell was so good that the girls in Jerusalem didn't have to put perfume on them because you didn't need it. The smell of Jerusalem was unbelievable. Then, the singing of the Levim. They said the singing of the Levim, if you didn't hear the singing, you didn't hear singing. You know what singing is? It was unbelievable, the singing. Like, imagine to yourself the best concert, the best singer, and that's nothing to compare to what it really was. Then, till today, when you go into Jerusalem, those who have a little spirituality feel elevated. I know that when I get to Jerusalem, I feel there's a different atmosphere there. Now, this is a shred of what it was. When the temple was, when you went into Jerusalem, you felt like you're walking on air. It was an unbelievable feeling. Imagine to yourself, Yom Kippur. The Kohen HaGadol goes into the temple to Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Holy of Holies. And you see the string that is red. And suddenly it turns into white. Could you imagine to yourself the feeling of the people seeing it? Realizing that God giving us another year, that God is forgiving us? Could you understand this feeling? And then when Kohen Gadol was going out, we sing it in Emet Mane Edar Hayam Are Kohen Gadol. To see the Kohen Gadol after he finished the job of Yom Kippur shining, going to his home, they were escorting him, and they say only in the middle of the night he came home. And it's not that it was so far away, but there are so many people singing and escorting him from the temple, bringing Bikurim. How do you say Bikurim in English? The first fruit you bring? Is there a word for it? Bikurim? Or there is no word?
Bikurim?
Okay. Yes.
The first fruit.
Okay.
The beginning of the harvest.
Okay. Yeah, so this is also was being done in a very special way. They say that those who brought the Bikurim into Jerusalem, before they went in, they used to decorate everything and went in like a whole parade. And everybody in Jerusalem was stopping what he's doing and welcoming them. Now, you have to understand, there is a halacha that says if somebody has a job, is a worker, he works for somebody, you're not allowed to stop your work in the middle of the day. It's not, there are so many laws that they call gezel. It's stealing. If you use the time of your boss and do something else that doesn't have anything to do with your job, this is stealing. And the halacha is very strict about this. But you know what happened when those with the Bikurim came? Everybody stopped. Everybody didn't mind who you, what you're doing. You stop your job, and everybody was welcoming them, standing in the two sides of the street, welcoming the parade of the Bikurim. Can you imagine to yourself this? This is only a glimpse of understanding what we're missing. Now, if you realize the feeling of Am Yisrael, you know, the time of Shlomo HaMelech, the Jews were considered the best nation in the world, the most clever nation in the world. Everybody wanted to be a part of us. Then some. This was like a glimpse of the Geula. Like I always tell you, you know, you come to China in order to understand what it is. Normally we used to, people are hating us and looking down at us, but in China they look up to a Jew. So it's a little feeling to understand what it will be when the Geula will come, when the temple is going to be built again. The Goyim, all of them, they are going to adore us. Could you imagine to yourself this? Hard to imagine the way to behave to us today. So now, this is what we're missing. This is Tisha B'Av all about.
We first have to like each other before we...
Because in order to build the building, it's first of all, v'ahavta l'racha kamocha. Unfortunately, we talked about it, and I wrote about it. Somebody wants to park a car, and the other guy kills him. And you know, they give all those students... Who cares? At the end of the day, it was for parking. Ribbono shel Olam. It's unbelievable. And this is a lesson to us, because God is not just telling us that yesterday also something, everywhere that, look what's going to happen in the States. A guy takes a gun and shoots people.
Even his own sister.
This is a world that we're living in. What is this all about? This is all about for us to wake up. Wake up. Let's start and spread Ahavat Chinam. Only if we spread Ahavat Chinam, what does it mean? Those small things, people are making us angry. Let's take it in a proportion. Let's calm down before we shout. You go on the road, something happens. Let's calm down. Let's try and do the small things that aggravate us. Let's think God is looking at us. What is the best thing to do? Maybe, okay, we let go. And maybe when God sees this, God will say, okay, I'm going to help them to do the right things, in order to bring the Geulah, b'mehra b'yameinu, amen.